Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Kelsey, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the show. Today's Monday, April 11th, and I'm excited to be here. Mondays are good for me. You know, some people don't like Mondays, Kelsey.
You know, I like Mondays, too.
Do you?
I do.
It's because you know why it is? Because we like to work.
I think so.
Right?
Yes.
Because people that don't look forward to Monday, it's like, I don't want to go back to my job.
I know.
Right?
I know. You have to like your job, I think, which is easier said than done.
It is.
But, I kind of look at it as like a fresh start.
Yeah,
it's a whole new week of possibilities.
Exactly. Possibilities, opportunities, you never know.
Yeah. And, I mean, I guess it's kind of the nature of the beast in my business. Like, I thrive off of, like, new opportunities and auditions and filming and things like that. So.
Yeah, very cool. And, yeah, I enjoy it, too. You know, I mean, it's we get to connect with people again and stuff. You know, I love my job.
I mean, I love
what
job.
I do,
too,
you know,
yeah.
And we're very fortunate, you know. I know that for some younger people, it's harder because you got to start at the bottom. You know, I for many years have worked in offices and I hated it, and I would dread going to work in the morning,
sure.
You know. But the point is that if you work hard at what you want, eventually you'll get to the point where you can just do what you love to do,
yeah,
and earn a living at it.
So true,
you know. So, yeah,
that's always been my philosophy,
yeah.
And then I got broke. And I was like, okay, maybe a little supplemental something is in order,
right,
at the moment.
Yeah.
But yeah, eventually I agree. You know, it's so funny because people will like message me on my Instagram or Facebook page and be like, whoa, you came out of nowhere. Where'd you come from? And I'm like, actually, I didn't come out of nowhere.
I've
been working hard for like a good 4 or 5, if you count college, which was working towards my career now, I mean, even more years. So,
right.
All of my 20s, basically, late teens, early 20s.
Yeah. So you've put in a lot into it and you still will, you know,
have
many years ahead of you. So that's cool. But yeah, definitely take advantage of it while you're still young and fresh and everything and in high demand. And, you know, that's the time to do it. You
know?
So you're seizing the opportunity, and that's what's good, you know.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And so how was your weekend? Did you have a nice weekend?
It was good. It was like really relaxing.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Unusual for you.
I know. Well, I did do a shoot yesterday, so. Uh-huh. That was kind of work, but it was really fun.
Yeah, there you go. You see, your work is not work.
Right.
You get to be in nice locales and everything, doing your yoga and exercise.
I know. And like yesterday, we were shooting out on the balcony, so that was fun.
Cool. Very nice.
Yeah.
I went to the... yesterday, I went with my daughter to the LA Festival of Books. Yeah, it's like sponsored by the LA Times or something. They had it at USC, which was ironic since we just talked about USC on Friday.
It is ironic, yeah.
About what a terrible area it's in and stuff. And but, man, it was really the first time I ever like drove around USC. Huge campus.
It is,
you know?
Huge.
It's huge.
Yes.
Although UCLA is bigger, I think, right? UCLA is like a little town. I mean, you have to drive through UCLA to get from one end to the other.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm sure USC is like that too, but it only takes a few blocks, whereas UCLA is like the entire Westwood almost, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But regardless, so that's where it was held. It was outdoors. Everybody was extremely lucky. It didn't rain. And it was great, you know. We got like to talk to authors and comic book people and things like that. And I found a couple of great books that I never even heard of. They're on Steve Jobs, but they're like each one is a collection of all the articles on him from Time Magazine and then from Fortune Magazine. So I thought, wow, for me, because I have all the books about Steve Jobs and all the magazines. So I thought this was great. $5 a piece, books that I wouldn't find anywhere else. I was happy, you know?
Yeah.
So for people that love to read, it was a great place to be. And Yeah, and it wasn't too crowded either, so that was nice.
Good.
Yeah, so that was the highlight of my weekend. I also worked, and yeah, and like we said, work is not work for us, so we're happy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Well, we have a very special guest in the studio, and we're going to bring her in now, now that we're done with all our little baloney here. And we have a very dear host from our station, Valerie Wardlaw. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you so much. I'm happy to be here and nice to meet you, Kelsey.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah, and we already met, of course.
Of course.
Yes. And Valerie is known as Dr. Val, right?
I am.
That's what your show is about. It's called Talk Back with Dr. Val.
And I am an actual doctor.
Are you really?
I am. I have a doctorate degree in clinical psychology. So I'm not just calling myself that. I actually
you
that.
Actually
I read that about
that.
You.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, very nice. So that's what you do for a living. You're a psychologist?
It is. I actually see patients for one of the healthcare companies in California, and I see it out of the Long Beach area. So I really, really love it. I love what I do.
Yes, and that's very important.
It is.
Did you ever have a time in your life where you had to do things you didn't like to do?
Oh, my gosh,
living?
Yes. When you all were talking about that, I thought of the many jobs that I absolutely hated it. But then I kind of turned it around and thought, you know, this is just a means to an end. I'm not going to always be doing that. And that helped me get through it.
Yeah. Very cool. So you always have to have some hope, right? And
you
look
do.
Forward to the future.
You do.
Well, this is great. So we have a professional psychologist here. So we can discuss a lot of great things.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good,
so tell us what your show is about.
Well, really, it's about talking about different things, not just, we haven't talked about any psychological disorders, but we've mostly talked about relationships, different aspects of it. How do I get the love that I want? How do I have the man that I want? When is the man coming?
Yes.
So things like that. So I'm really going to tackle, I hope, everyday problems that a lot of people are dealing with and might, you know, seek some solutions or, you know, how do I, you know, change my life? How do I get to where I want to be.
Yeah. And so what, I mean, from your years of experience, what would you say is like the major problems that people have in relationships? Like, let's say not specifically in marriage or anything, but when people are together, what are the problems they usually have?
Well, you know, first of all, I think that a lot of times we just choose the wrong person. Mm-hmm. And by that, what I mean is that you see things about the person when you're dating. You totally ignore it, thinking somehow it's just going to magically become something else. And it doesn't really work like
that. And for women, often they feel they can change the man, right?
They feel that they can change the man. And I always say that we as women, we marry potential. We don't marry what's right in front of us. We
That's
say,
bad.
You know, if I just tweak a few things about him, he's going to be this,
right.
And then I'll have the man that I want.
Wow.
As opposed to, let me see what's right in front of me, and that is probably who I'm going to get.
That's
well,
true.
Not probably, that is who
or,
you're going to get.
Yeah, or worse, because people usually put the first best foot forward in the beginning, right?
Oh, for sure.
So you're going to get what you're seeing or worse.
Well, listen, I had a pastor who used to say this all the time, and he wasn't a psychologist, but it's so true. He said, when you date someone, you got to date them in fall, winter, spring, and summer, meaning that you got to see them in all seasons of life, interacting with their family, their friends, their coworkers, so you get a sense of who the real person is, because we can always put our best foot forward for a short time.
Exactly.
Right.
But
yeah.
We can't sustain that if that's not who we are.
That's true, absolutely. And that's the thing, you know, I mean, I feel that people do marry for the wrong reasons.
They do.
Many people do. You know, I mean, I know I did, you know. I sort of like put pressure on myself. When I met this girl, I was 26, 27. And I mean, at the time, you know, I hadn't been, I mean, I wasn't ready to get married yet. Mm. I thought I'm going to wait till I'm 30.
Sure.
And then we met. I mean, there was a relationship there and everything. But I knew that she's probably not the right one for me.
Oh, in the back of your head,
but you. But you know what? The families got along so well.
Yeah.
And it was like the right timing. And I said, well, who knows if I'm going to find another Jewish girl that the parents would approve of and everything. That's what I'm saying. Those are the wrong reasons to get married.
They are. But, you know, a lot of times when we're young, we don't realize that. You know, we don't realize that it's okay to really hold out for someone that you really love. And even even if they don't have the finances that you want or some other things, it doesn't mean that those things can't change. But yeah. This is why I say you always have to walk towards the love or move towards the love, because that is the thing that's going to sustain you when things are difficult, when it's tough. That's but if true. You don't really love the person anyway, and you really know that you shouldn't have married them, well, when things get tough, it's like, well, I don't really love them anyway.
Right.
Exactly, right.
Like, why am I staying in this? I don't even really want this.
Oh, God. No.
I mean, whether you think that consciously or unconsciously, you do think that. But sometimes it's tough for people to wait because they want to get married.
Right.
You know? And you're so right. You raised a good point about men. Men do make a decision about when they're going to get married. And if you happen to be the person that they're dating, then he's probably going to marry
How
you.
How interesting.
Yeah, yeah. But they do make a decision about that. They do decide, you know, hey, I'm getting married. That's why, you know, you can't make them get married before they want to.
Right.
You know, because the decision really is all of ours. You know, it's
right.
all of ours.
That's so true.
Yeah, and you definitely have to do it. I don't know. I say that if you're going to spend someone the rest of your life for, I think it should be something that you feel you don't want to be away from that person. You really
Absolutely.
Want to be with them for the rest of your life. Any other reason is not a good reason to get married.
Yeah, you got to be friends. I mean, people say that and they hate to hear that. But what it really means is when, aside from all the other stuff, do you like being with the person? Do you like talking to them? Do you trust them? Do you, you know, are they your friend? Are they somebody that you could just do nothing with and still have fun?
Right, right. And how do they make you feel about yourself,
That's
too,
right.
you know?
Oh, absolutely. That's probably the most important thing.
I think it really is, you
it
know,
is.
Because sometimes, you know, with some people, I feel like I feel like a loser or something. I feel like not great about myself. Mm. And I'm like, I shouldn't be in this relationship.
Yeah,
you shouldn't.
No.
Right?
No, you should not.
No, I mean, they should make you, they should put you on a pedestal.
Yeah, of
That's
course.
What makes it nice.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like, and I don't think you should ever stop the courtship, you know? I mean, it's always nice. I brought up an article here I was going to talk about before, but maybe we can bring it up now. People don't talk a lot about sex and about the frequency of their sex lives and stuff, but they're doing a study here and about the health benefits of having sex. And people are saying, you know, that for the most part, they're saying don't stress about having tons of sex. Research suggests that once a week may be enough to reap the benefits. Now, What are the benefits? I guess they're saying about being happy and close and in a relationship and so forth. They're saying once a week is probably enough. Okay, and they're saying obviously some people need it more, some people need it less. But the bottom line is, I think this is very important, right? And I think if sex goes, everything goes in the relationship.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
I mean, it's hard. It's very difficult to maintain a relationship without sex. But surprisingly, there are a lot of people who are trying to do just that.
Really?
You know, who have moved from, for various reasons. I say that if men, number one, understand that for women, sex starts before the bedroom. You know, if you text them during the day, whisper sweet nothings, say lovely things. I mean, I'm not even talking about major things. And, you know, just start talking to them about them before you get to the bedroom. You're going to have sex that night.
Wow.
Because, you know, women like that. It's more than just a physical act. There are a lot of verbal things that help women get to the point that they need to be.
Right.
Versus, you know, most men, you know, it's just automatic like that.
Yeah, it's very physical for men.
They just need a line. Hey, we're done.
Right.
We're on, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And so, but it is important. And so when there's a breakdown in the relationship, a breakdown in the communication and how we are with one another, then it's hard for women to have sex with that person.
That's
even
true.
Though, and a man would say, well, don't you have a physical need for that? But women are able to move through that because for them, it's more mental than it is physical.
Oh, wow.
What do you think, Kelsey?
I agree. Yeah.
I got to agree, though, that for men, it's very mental, too, you know, and I know that it really is, because I've realized, like, let's say when you're having sex or something, right? I mean, you, in your mind, you can be in a totally different place and you're not as turned on, you're not as into it, and you know, so it's, I don't know, it's I mean, people have sex for different reasons, obviously, and sometimes bad reasons, like to control other people and you know, to reward them and stuff. Like you know, if the wife says, well, you're not getting any sex if, right, blah, 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 you know. And so people use it for many different reasons. And I think we have to sort of like embrace all the different reasons that people have. I'm not saying they're all good, but we have to understand that not everybody has sex for the same reasons.
Oh, for sure. And you know, I am totally against a man or a woman withholding sex as a way to punish,
right,
the other person.
That, right, so and
wrong.
Reward them and stuff.
So,
right?
Yeah, that is, yeah, so wrong. Right? It's not about punishment and reward.
Yeah,
this
I agree.
Is, yeah, this is the person that I love. And even if you upset me, I'm not going to say, well, you know what? You didn't do what I wanted to do, so for the next month I'm not having any sex with you. That's so wrong.
Yeah.
But that happens a lot.
Yeah. It does, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. That and also the fact that is, if before the marriage, I mean early on, if you don't see a lot of interest in sex from the other person, it's probably not gonna change. Okay. You know, so that's what you have to expect. So that's what I'm saying, get wild, you know. I mean, get the real person, because that's who you're going to have sex for the rest of your life with, you know.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you want to be who you are on all levels when you're dating, so that the person knows who they're getting and they're going to marry that person that's in front of them. You want them to love you, faults and all, you know, because they love you, and you don't want them to marry someone that you're really not. For example, sure, if I'm not a cook and I know that I'm not going to cook him a meal 7 days a week and, you know, and sustain that, right, while we're dating. But as soon as we get married, hey, buddy. Restaurant.
Yeah, stop. Exactly. Yeah. That's a good analogy.
Yeah, I'm not going to do it, you know, because that's not who I am. So yeah, if I'm a restaurant person and I know that's what I do well, I want him to know that so that when he marries me, it won't come as a surprise.
Exactly. Sure. You tell him you're great at making reservations.
I'm great. You know, or I cook 2 times a week, but, you know, the rest of the time I expect to be out. Whatever it is,
yeah,
you want them to see you. You want them to see the person that you are and love you for that,
yeah,
for that person.
Wow. So how long have you been practicing now, Valerie?
I graduated in 2010. I actually have had other careers before that. And that's actually how I came to California from Georgia.
Oh, really?
To go to school to get my doctorate out here. I went to the Fuller Seminary, the School of Psychology in Pasadena.
Uh-huh.
And I graduated in 2010, so about 6 years.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you.
So, I mean, that's many years in school, right?
That's,
I mean,
a
that's,
lot.
Yes, it's 5 years in school.
5 years?
And a lot of internships. As a matter of fact, I did one internship at UCLA, so I'm very familiar with UCLA. But I'm a huge SC fan.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's funny. I love the fact that SC is in an inner city because they really do a fantastic job of serving that population, and it's needed.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, but we were just saying that they it's sort of like, I mean, you really have to be rich to go to USC.
You do.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing. It's not in as good an area as UCLA. I mean, I don't care what you say. There's a lot of crime going on there.
Oh,
and
sure.
I know they're trying to fix that area and upgrade it downtown because it's
they
important.
Are.
They're really expanding our entire downtown in LA.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, definitely. But
yes,
but I know people have told me they were scared and afraid to walk around there.
Well, SC is an important part of that. And like I said, they do serve the community. And what's really going to be great about the Rams coming,
yes,
is they're going to be
exciting.
They're going to be playing at the Coliseum.
At the Coliseum, right.
So that area is going
to
be in.
They're going to have to improve it.
They are. They right.
Yeah, it's really scary because my alma mater, University of Texas at Austin, a young girl was just killed there by a homeless runaway
serious?
Kid. Yeah, it
wow.
was huge news. And she was killed like on campus.
Oh, wow.
I know. So
at USC?
Sad. No, at UT Austin.
Really?
And it's kind of the wow. same situation in a sense as USC. I mean, it's not like super inner city, but
right.
it's the school is located off this street called the Drag, and it's the homeless population is just rampant there.
Yeah, yeah. And definitely that's another issue altogether, the homeless.
It is,
you know?
A whole other issue.
Yeah, and we often bring it up and stuff, what an issue that is. But it's not pleasant. Nobody wants to live around that.
That's right.
You know? But that's for another show. We're talking to Dr. Valerie Wardlaw. She's a host here on LA Talk Radio. And her show is Talk Back with Dr. Val. I would imagine advice and things like that, helping people out and so forth. That's great. By the way, the show is on when? Thursdays at 8.
Thursdays at 8.
8 p.m. Pacific, of course, right here on LA Talk Radio on Channel 1. And do you have guests sometimes on the show?
I do have guests sometimes on the show, and I actually started out that way, and I really love having guests, but I am finding, I've only done one show where it's been like this, but I really do like engaging with listeners and having callers to call.
Oh,
and
that's nice.
I really love that. Yeah, because you don't know what you're going to get.
That's
you don't
true,
know
right?
what they're going to say. As a matter of fact, for the first 3 weeks, I would get one caller who really wasn't calling into my show.
Oh, my gosh.
For another show.
Oh, yeah, the one that comes before her.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. I could not believe this. I said, I need to memorize his number. So when
so
I
you know
see
not
that,
to answer.
I know Whoa. Not to answer. But and I so I tried That's to engage funny. Him, and he was like, well, I really would like to talk about your show, but I'm really looking for...
For Amberlynn, right. Yeah, that's funny.
So I love that about live radio and having callers,
yes.
because you really don't know yeah. what people are going to say or what's on their mind. So it's interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, people really... What I am learning is people want love in their lives, and they want to know, how do
yeah.
I get it?
They sure. want to be heard.
They do.
Yeah.
They do.
Yeah.
They do.
I know. It's great you humored him, because that's. I remember early on the station, a lot of people would call in and try to goof and stuff like that, and we would just go along with it. You know, mm-hmm. whatever show it was on, they'd always go along with it. And it's always great because people love to talk on the radio, you
they
know.
They do.
So even when sometimes they make mistakes and call into the wrong show and you engage them, like you said, they'll continue talking. Unless, of course, he doesn't want to talk to Amberlynn, which is a totally opposite show of yours. I don't know why we picked that time slot.
That's so funny.
But hey, you get an audience, you know, and you're... your stuff is universal, you know. I mean, so whoever remains after her show, I think would find interest in yours. It's just that people sometimes don't even listen to what's going on
right.
on the air, so they think they're calling to the show.
Right,
you
that's
know? Right. That's
they,
right.
They
that's
call
right.
to the next one. Yeah.
Well, I welcome all
funny.
Listeners, no matter what show.
There
that
you go. You
for.
Know, I mean, look, that's a human condition to the porn stars and the former porn
that's
stars, right?
Right? Yes,
yeah.
absolutely.
It's
absolutely.
Part of what's going on, you know, and we often talk about it here on the show because I run into many of them here in this business, in the radio business, but I realize that, you know, every time they're together or even with other people, they call us civilians, the porn stars do.
What?
But yeah, they call us civilians, the ones that are not in porn.
Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't know that either.
That's
yeah,
interesting.
That's what they call us. Yeah.
Okay.
So at any rate, that's all they ever talk about is porn. You know, and it's amazing, like about the industry.
Sure.
I'm not saying necessarily about
right.
sex, but about the industry, about this, about that. And because, you know, I went to gatherings. I listened to their shows and all that stuff. And that's all they ever talk about. And I'm saying how pathetic it is. What a small world to live in. You know, it's not like because to me. And again, I don't look to judge other people. I don't go and say you're stupid because you made this decision. But to me, it's a question. It's questionable judgment, in my view, to take a leap into a one-way door. Once you're out there, you can't take it back.
That's for sure.
You know, I mean, there's some things in life you can take a job and change your mind later. Right? And nothing
sure.
happened. And people do that all the time. You change a lot of jobs. Once you're in there, you're in the mud. You're never changing. Nobody's ever going to hire you for anything else. And they find it out all the time.
Really? Yeah, that's for sure. Where it becomes yeah. a part of your story. I mean,
sure.
that's what I say to young people about social media. It's great that you want to make sex tapes and all this, if you want to do that. But you always risk that if anything like that gets released, or the kind of pictures that I see on Facebook or on Twitter or
oh my
Instagram,
God, yeah.
you're thinking, you know what? When you become my age, you know, in the 50s or 60s, are you still going to be happy with that? Or even in the 30s or 40s, you do have to realize, like, there are consequences to that. You can do it because we can all make our own decisions. But you just have to be prepared for whatever the consequences are that follow.
Right. And then you see it really work out for some people, you know, and they build a career out of it.
Well, very few people say that all the time. And they point to that particular family and say, look, you know, they made.
That is a unique case. But even not just them. I mean, there are other people as well.
Yeah, for sure.
You know,
what family are we talking about now?
The Kardashians.
Oh, the Kardashians. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Because a lot of people point to the fact that it all started with a sex tape.
Okay. But there were sex tapes before that, too. I mean, there was Pamela Anderson and all those. So, yeah. But, you never know if it was planned that way or not. Who knows? You know, I mean, they could do anything, these people. You know, you never know.
Right. It's arguable.
Yeah. For those of you just joining us, we're talking to Dr. Valerie Wardlaw. If people want to, where do you practice? What areas?
I practice in the Wilmington, Long Beach area. And can they just come and see me? Unfortunately, they can't. They have to have Molina Healthcare because that's who I work for. And you have to be referred to me from the primary care physician. But one day, though, I may have my own practice. So just hold on, folks. One day I may have my own practice.
Yeah, why not?
That'd be great.
I mean, because you're still fresh at it. I mean, you just graduated in 2010, you said, right?
Yes, I did.
So, I mean, you still have to pay your dues, right?
That's right. I mean, this is good, and I love the patient population that I see. I want to write books, and I'm all about, you know, positive psychology, mindfulness. So I think eventually I probably will have my own practice.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's the ultimate, you know, just having your own business.
Yes, right? For sure.
There's nothing like it.
Which I never thought that I would. So the fact that I'm even saying that is a huge step for me, huge growth, yes. But I'm absolutely, you know, in that mindset now, because I always thought that I would not, but I've changed on that. So you're right. We can always change our mind about things.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you this. In your family, were generations before you also as educated as you, or were you the first generation?
I was the first generation. Far, huh? And you know what is so wonderful about my family, and thank you for asking about them. They're from Georgia. And so everyone lives on the East Coast. I'm actually the only one in the West.
Oh, wow.
And but what's so great about them is that they were not educated, but they always, from the time I was a child, instilled upon me that I was going to be educated.
That's great.
Yeah. And so, I mean, you can't, that's like priceless for your family to realize you need to be this.
Right.
And you know, and so it became that way.
Yeah.
So I always knew
very
that.
Fortunate.
Yeah, I grew up knowing that I was going to college.
Right. And then, so when you were going to school, did you like it? I mean,
I loved it. I always loved school. I'm a lifetime learner, and I'm always looking to learn other things. I love reading. You mentioning the book fair. I love books. I love learning about life. And I'll tell this short story is that one of the reasons, because I've really had the opportunity to travel all over the world, but my first exposure to travel was through books, the Nancy Drew book.
I love Nancy Drew.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, I read all of those.
I was getting ready to say, Kelsey, that might be before Kelsey's time.
Yeah, but most girls grow up on it. It's timeless.
It opened up, you know, even though I was raised in a very small town in Georgia, in South Georgia, where I actually saw Ku Klux Klan rallies.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God.
I saw those things. Wow. Yeah, it was a very small town and a very southern town. But I knew that there was this whole world beyond it. And I got exposed to that through Nancy Drew. Books.
Wow. You see, that's the thing. And I say to myself, I mean, I always enjoyed school too. And especially later in my life when I actually got my ass to sit down. And because that was always the problem with me as a young kid, the teachers would tell my mom, he can't sit down for 2 minutes and focus, you know. Mm-hmm. Back then, there was no ADD or anything
that. You didn't have medicine.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't think I was ADD. I was like, I just didn't want to sit in a structure. I wanted to socialize. I wanted to learn things on my own, sort of. So, but then later on, I calmed down a little bit. And I keep telling myself, I read so much and I learn so much, I might as well earn a degree doing this.
Oh, yeah, right? That's right.
So I might as well go back to school, and that's what I want to do. I want to get my master's. I want to get maybe a doctorate or something. You know, mm-hmm. that would be cool. And not just for the titles, but to actually learn the things that, and sometimes they present to you things that you wouldn't normally think, hey, I want to learn this. Yes. You know, like I remember in my undergrad studies, like, for example, some of the general education was art history, for example, right? At that point, I'm like 26, 27 years old. I'm like, art history? I don't know. I'm not that into it,
yeah,
okay?
Yeah.
But then actually we started understanding paintings and sculptures and things like that. And I thought, wow, I love this. I started going to museums and everything. You know, I got totally into it. They even got into like pop culture and music videos and stuff like that, how they evolved. And I thought, wow, you know, and that happened with a lot of topics and a lot of subjects in college. And that's why I always, like I told my kids, I said, when you go into college, you'll probably change your mind a few times right. about your major. Because you keep discovering new things.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
And new interests. I mean, after a couple of years in school, my son decided to take biochemistry. I mean, what's that about?
Oh my God.
Where did that come from, you know? Biochemistry. But my God, I mean, it interests him.
That's great.
I know.
So what
does
he do now? Is he still in school?
He's still in school, yeah. And he's got a job also and everything, so... He's up in San Francisco.
He'll be very marketable with that degree.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
My parents wanted me to get that degree.
Really?
That didn't happen.
That's funny.
They're
wow.
like, be a pharmacist or, you know,
yeah.
a doctor or something.
I know, but I love science too, and I think I instilled it in them early on. In fact, when I went with my daughter yesterday, it sort of took us back in time because when they were growing up, we still had a lot of bookstores and and record stores and video stores and software stores and things like that. So we would go to the mall. There's a million things to do. There were arcades, you know, where you play like Pac-Man and all that stuff,
sure.
you know, and they loved that. Now you don't have any of that anymore. Where do you take your kid?
I know.
You know what I'm saying?
I know.
I mean, there's nothing in the mall but clothes for adults. That's about it. There's nothing for kids.
I know. I mean, I guess like a park, but...
Yeah, but a park, what do you get there as far as like intellectual? I mean...
That's true.
You know, you get more social things.
Sure.
But I mean, we'd be at the mall. There was like Pokemon that came out. They were collecting like cards of Japanese characters.
I remember that. Yeah. That was kind of my early era, yeah.
It is.
As a kid,
it
yeah.
is, yeah. So it was the 90s, you know?
Right.
And so we would be at the mall and the kids would be trading them and stuff like that. So it was a safe environment. It's not on the street. You know, I mean, when we were kids, we'd trade cards on the street, like baseball cards and things like this. But here we would go with the kids. They would trade, socialize, learn the stuff. It was amazing. And then we'd go and look at the bookstores and everything. So they learned to love all that stuff, you know. And today, so we got to share some passion together, you know.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And yeah, you know, and now it's hard to find the bookstore, you know. You have to drive far to
that's
find
true.
One.
That's true.
It is. Which is so sad. I love bookstores.
I know. Yeah, I know. So that's why what I do is I try to, I do what I hope other people will do, and sometimes I don't buy from Amazon. I'll spend the few extra bucks and buy from the bookstore so I can help them survive, so I can come tomorrow and browse if I want to.
I know. We have a great bookstore in Pasadena, Romans. And
it's
still there. And
wow.
It's so
it's been
wonderful.
There forever.
I just love going in there. And I mean, they've expanded. I mean, they have books, they have other things that you can purchase from different countries, and they have a coffee shop. And it's just they sell, you know, clothing, items for the home.
Wow,
I mean,
yes.
There's something
beautiful.
Really happy and peaceful about a bookstore.
It
right?
is. And I love going in there on Sundays. So
and that's like an independent
browsing.
Store. It's not like Barnes & Noble, you know,
right?
So it's got a lot lot of history to it. I know they used to, I don't know if they still do, but they used to have a lot of celebrity authors or whatever come in and sign books. Oh,
they still do. Yeah, they still do.
Really?
Yeah, they do, which is so wonderful. So I can't even imagine Pasadena without Romans. I hope they survive.
Yeah, I know. Well, maybe they will, you know, because they're the only ones, really, them and the, there's still one Barnes & Noble, I think, in Pasadena, and that's it, on the main street.
I believe that it is closed.
Did they close
now,
that
Barnes
one?
Barnes & Noble is
Oh,
gone,
wonderful. Yeah, there you go. You see, there's nothing. But
but Romans remains.
Yeah. Yeah. I know, but in the Valley, we have three left, so I'm happy about that. But, by the way, I forgot to tell you that at the fair yesterday, who did I see? Henry Winkler.
Oh, wow.
Now, you remember, I don't know if you remember him. Okay, you don't.
I don't think so.
Well, how would you? You hadn't been born. Okay, in the 70s, there was a show called Happy Days.
Oh, okay.
And there was a character called the Fonz. And they called him Fonzie sometimes. And the show was about not the 50s, but the 50s. Okay, so they would have like the drive-in hamburger places and the college kids and the high school kids and all the root beer floats and the, you know, things like that. Yeah, and the cruising and picking up girls and stuff like that. So it was like the most popular show ever. I mean, there was like John Travolta and the Fonz were like the biggest thing when I came to this country first. In 1975.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so this guy's become like, but he's become huge, Kelsey. I mean, he's been in a lot of movies. If you look him up, you'll see. Look up Henry Winkler. Today he's, he's older than I, but he looks great. Okay. He's got like kid books that he wrote.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so he was autographing those, and I said, I really want to take a picture with him.
Yeah.
Because I'm a big fan, but it's like, I told my daughter, I said, we probably should buy a book, you know. I mean, so he can autograph this,
right.
You know.
Yeah, yeah.
So then I thought, do we spend $10 for an autograph from Henry Winkler? Because that's essentially what it is. I'm not going to read the book. Uh-huh. What am I going to do with it, right? But at the same time, I also thought, well, so I was going back and forth before I decided. He got up and said, you know, that was it. He had to leave. That was it. So before he left, I left someone my card. I said, we'd love to interview him on the show. So
oh, nice.
Maybe
oh,
that'd
he'll
be
come
wonderful.
On the show, yeah. But I did see a few amazing people there. I also invited on the show, like from the comic book industry.
Oh, really?
Oh,
cool.
Wow. That's great.
I know. So, yeah, so it was a... I enjoy going out and meeting people. The station has made me very social, you know?
Yeah, that's a good thing.
You know, and I'm sort of like an independent person, you know? I mean, I enjoy living alone right now, you know, the past couple of years and stuff. I'm not like under any pressure to have a relationship. So I'm more open to like being social and things like
good
that.
For
but,
you.
But still, I enjoy a lot of me. Alone time, you know. I love to read. That's what I do. I hardly watch any TV at all. If I do, you know, so it's reading mostly when I can, and the rest of the time is people, you know. So
that's
great. I know, and that's the thing. You get to work with people. That's what you do.
I do.
You don't work with products. You work with people.
That's right. I get to listen and talk to people all day long, every day.
So now, do you specialize in an age group or do you cover everything?
I cover everything. I see children, adults, couples, men, women. So I get to see a variety of things, and I have a variety of different patients. So it's really very interesting. Sometimes it can be pretty heartbreaking when you hear some of the things.
Some of the stories,
that,
huh?
Yeah,
wow,
stories.
My God.
And but, what's like your specialty within the psychology business?
You know, I guess I would say my specialty is probably two things. Definitely relationships, but also teen girls.
Oh, okay.
I call myself the teen whisperer because I do have a way of establishing relationships with teen girls.
That's great.
And they are dealing with some incredible things. You would just be surprised at the issues that are facing girls from 13 to 18, or maybe you wouldn't.
Yeah, we would be surprised. I can imagine. I can imagine how much they go through.
They're faced with a lot, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you change completely, right? I mean, from a child, you become an adult.
You do. You have all these hormonal things going on, and now, I mean.
I know, and all the wolves circling around, you know, all the boys.
Yeah.
And just trying to navigate who you are, who you want to become in the world, and you have to do that within the context of your family. So you have the family dynamics.
Right.
And and what's going on there. And if it's not a healthy family dynamic and you recognize that, but you have no power because you're still a kid.
Yeah.
So you got to endure that. So I really enjoy working with that population, you know, of kids and being in school and the pressure to do well and to get into college and how am I going to pay for college if my family can't afford it? And, you know, just what am I going to do with my life? And believing that, you know, what I really dream about, I can really go on that path and try to achieve that, because that's what I'm finding out. People have a lot of dreams, but they're either for fear or other reasons, someone told them they could not be that particular thing.
So
their life takes a totally different path. I have one of the signs I have in my office is, who did you want to be before someone told you that you could not be that?
Wow.
Oh, that's great. That's so true.
And that's a great question, isn't it?
Yes.
For all of us.
It goes back to, what do you love to do? Who are you?
Who are you?
Right.
Who did you want to be before someone else influenced you that you couldn't do
it? Wow. That's true. And that happens to everyone,
right? It does. It really
does. Everybody will have someone there that says, you can't do it, it won't happen, all this stuff. And indeed, some people did not listen to that and became very successful.
That's right.
Consequently. So there you go. Do you have any children yourself, Valerie?
I do not have children. I do have nieces and nephew. I'm, of course, the favorite aunt of all my nieces and nephews.
How
I think it's always the one that doesn't have kids. Because we know no boundaries. You know, we can
give
buy
them everything,
gifts.
Like
we give them everything and let their parents deal with the consequences of that. But I love being an aunt. But no, I do not have children. So maybe that's why I'm bonding with teen girls in that way.
Yeah, yeah, good. And what was your teenage period like? I mean, did you, because I'm also thinking about the fact that you said you grew up in a very racially intense area. That must have left some trauma on you as a child.
Well, you know, I grew up in a single parent home. My mother, you know, now is in a very long term marriage, but I did grow up without a father and in a southern town where there was a lot of racism. But I, you know, I will say that I had a very strong grandparent and my grandmother, and I had an extended family that really weren't really my family, but church members, other community members, because I grew up in a town where your neighbors cared about what happened to you. You know, it wasn't just your family. Your next door neighbors, you knew them.
Yeah.
You were in and out of their homes. And my church at the time played an important role in my development. So, you know, even though it was, I didn't have all the material things, but what I did have was the thing that mattered most. I knew growing up that I was very loved. And I was always told that I could do whatever I wanted to do.
Yeah.
I always told that. I went to school in Virginia.
Wow.
And so for my mom, a single mom, to pay out-of-state fees for me to go to school in Virginia. And who never discouraged that?
Yeah.
You know, she never discouraged anything that I wanted to do. She was the one who gave me a love of books. She read to me constantly, even though she herself had not gone to college. But she gave me those things and instilled those things in me that she wanted me to have.
Yeah.
And so, you know, so I was fortunate in that way. So it's never about the money. It's all about the quality of time, the things that people expose you to. And, you know, exposure is key.
Yeah.
If you get exposed to things, then you can start to dream about things beyond that.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I wanted to ask you something before we close, because you just brought up something for me. But for those of you just joining us, the first question is, why are you just joining us? We're only 8 minutes before the show's over, but we're talking to Valerie Wardlaw. She's the host of the show Talk Back with Dr. Val. You can catch her here Thursday nights at 8 p.m. Pacific. And of course, you can always download the shows right here, easy to find on our website. Go ahead, download our shows. You started, what, 3-4 weeks ago?
Or yes,
more
it's
than
been
that?
A month now.
A month now.
Yeah.
Very nice.
I'm
well,
excited.
We love having you. I think
I love being on it.
You have a great aura about you, you know, you put out a great vibe and everything.
Positive energy.
Right.
Okay, good.
And, and for those of you wondering, she's a doctor because she earned the darn thing.
I earned it. There you go.
So we can't promote your practice, but we can promote the show. So we promote that. Is there a way for people to contact you, like social networks or things like that?
Absolutely.
That you like?
I'm on Twitter at Dr. Val Wardlaw. I'm on Instagram at Reporter Val Wardlaw. And they can email me at talkbackdrval@gmail.com.
Wow. Awesome. So you see, that's what I love about the internet, and everybody can is within, you know, an email or a message from the other person.
Oh, for
you know,
sure,
it's like
sure.
There's no more 6 degrees of separation now.
Not
it's probably
at all.
Like two or something.
Right.
You know? I mean, you can get to the president through two people or something.
You really can.
Right?
You really can.
The world has become so small because the population is so large.
Right.
And the communications are so much easier, you know.
Isn't it wonderful, though?
It's amazing. I did want to ask you. We're talking about education and the importance of it and everything. Some people believe that as long as your kids are in school and doing well, and school, I mean college, like when they're 21, 22, some people say that no matter what, as long as they're in school, you totally should support them financially. And some people say they should get a sense of actually surviving for them on their own. And therefore, you should require them to go to school and work. What is your personal view on that?
Well, I think it really depends on the kid because, you know, some kids, they can manage going to college, working. They can juggle all those things. Some kids, you know, they're not at a place in their lives where they can do that. So you have to know what your child is. And let me just say this. I am very much an advocate of education. However, education, college is not for everyone.
I agree.
Right.
And so
yeah.
You definitely have to know your child. And because your child, if college isn't for them, that doesn't mean that they won't be successful. Because as we know, Steve Jobs, a person that you admire, a great example of someone who did not finish college.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, Mark Zuckerberg of Facebook did not finish Harvard.
Right.
He went.
Right.
You know, but I'm saying there, if you know your child and they're really creative and they would be better, you know, out in the world, you know, as you say, on the grind, trying to get their creativity on, then allow them, support them to do that.
Right.
But there are some kids that absolutely will go to college and they'll be successful with that.
Yeah. So, and that's the thing. But I think it's so important that you bring it up because it is not for everyone.
It's
and
not,
I'm here to say that if there's one thing I learned in my life, and I'm the only person, let's say this, I'm the first person on both sides of my family that went to college.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
On both sides of my family, both my father's and I was the first one that actually went and completed college. Not to say that there aren't ones that came after me and got doctorates and stuff,
mm-hmm.
but I was at least the first.
Uh-huh.
But at any point, and then we have a few other, educated in the family. One of my brothers, I have two brothers. My middle one did not go to college. The youngest one did. Guess who's the richest among us? The middle one that did not go to college.
Oh,
by a lot. By a lot.
That happens a lot.
Selling safes on the internet.
Mm.
Here I... Okay. Here I forgot who we have on the show here. I'm sorry about it. I stopped myself at the last minute from the F-bomb. But no, we want this to be able to for you to play it back as well. So we're going to refrain.
So you're going to keep it clean.
Yeah.
Me,
but no, what I'm trying to say is I put in so much, you know, and so much into education and stuff and really invested a lot in myself. And people often tell me, they say, don't look at that, at the financial difference you guys have between you. Look at the other things you have. You know,
oh, for
like,
sure. For
you know,
sure.
Like, I mean, they're saying it's so pleasant to talk to you. You know everything and about everything and you're smart and you're this and you're ambitious and you're successful and you're creative and all these things that people tell me. But I tend to look at the money part of it.
Oh, and
I'm going, how did this happen?
And we're not, don't get me wrong. I love money like the next person. But ultimately, at the end of the day, that's not where the happiness comes from.
That's so true.
The happiness comes from, like Kelsey, pursuing acting, pursuing the things that she loves. You creating a format for others to come and express their, you know, creativity. It's ultimately, what do I love in life? What would I do? And we hear this all the time. What would I do if I didn't get paid for it? That's the thing that's going to sustain
me.
Because when you do what you love, the money will come. It will. It's like the wet with the water.
Right.
You know, but first and foremost, let me do what I love.
Right.
You know, what I get up in the morning that's joyous. Because, I mean, would you rather be a very wealthy person and miserable?
Right.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah. I don't know, but
some
it sure would
go,
be
yes,
nice.
Yes, I would be.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah, right?
I mean, it would be nice to at least try. Yeah,
yeah, let me try what that would be like.
Exactly. Try, and then I can compare and get back to you on that, you know? All right. Anyway, folks, we are out of time. Valerie Wardlow, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, and
us.
Thank you all for having me. Yeah. And when I write a book, I want you all to invite me back so I can talk about my book.
Yes.
We would love that. We would love that. I'm sure you have at least one book in you, you know,
I
with
do.
All the
I'm
experience
working on it
and
right
everything.
Now.
Really?
Oh, okay. I am.
Congratulations. Do you have an ETA on that when it's going to come out?
Yes, think? I'm hoping by the end of May.
The end of May?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, well, that's next month.
Hey.
Yeah, okay, well, let's already schedule then. All right.
Well, thank you all, though.
Okay, thank you. Everybody listen to Talk Back with Dr. Val. No, I have to have it right in front of me because there's a million things on my mind. But Talk Back with Dr. Val, folks, with Valerie, Thursdays, 8 p.m. Pacific time, right here on LA Talk Radio. Everybody, Kelsey, thank you.
Yes.
Thanks, everybody, for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Bye, guys.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Kelsey, only on LA Talk Radio.